Well, before we begin a study, let's pray. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav Etzivanu La'asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Well, tonight begins the last day of Pesach, of Passover, in the diaspora. We're on the day called Acharon Shel Pesach, the last day. The first days of Passover are celebrated with seders. How many people celebrated at least one seder this year? Can I see? Good for you. How many celebrated two or more? Three or more? John? Four or more? You had four, didn't you? You did three on one day, didn't you? Right, and then on Thursday you had, we'll count that, early Seder. Okay. John's a record holder next year. If we have any competitors, you know who to challenge. So the first days of Passover are celebrated with Seders, and the focus is on the exodus from Egypt and God's mighty hand delivering us out of that slavery. The last days of Passover are focused on the next piece of bread you're going to eat. Am I right? But that's not the spiritual incorrect answer. It's just what's on your mind. The last days of Passover, according to Hasidic Jews, are focused on Mashiach. Say that with me, Mashiach. Messiah. They're focused on Messiah and the coming redemption. The founder of Hasidic Judaism, Baal Shem Tov, or he's also known as Rabbi Israel Besht, he instituted a third Seder that was celebrated during the afternoon of the last day of Passover. So on Saturday afternoon, Hasidic Jews all over the world will have a special Seder. And do you know what they call it? They call it Seudat HaMashiach, the meal of Messiah, or Messiah's meal. Another way to translate it is the feast of Messiah, or the banquet of Messiah. And during that Seder, there are two specific foods that Hasidic Jews will consume: matzah and wine. Isn't that interesting? They use that meal, the meal of Messiah, to anticipate the coming days of Messiah. The last days of Passover are to help us focus on the last days before Messiah comes. And the intent is that everyone who celebrates Passover would have an active yearning for the coming of Messiah. So we as Messianic Jews, we ought to be aware of this. We ought to engage ourselves in such activities too. We ought to take advantage of the same thinking. And we ought to take note that in the Haftorah for this week, the prophet Isaiah is specifically speaking about Messiah. And if you follow Jewish commentators, you'll notice that when they come to the Haftorah, it's from Isaiah 11, they say, this is about Messiah. And this is how it begins. Incidentally, if you have your Bible, would you wave it to me? I love to see the waving of the Bibles. Sort of wave it in the air, you know, like you're getting ready for a wave offering or something. Okay, now all the digitati who have your digital Bibles, let's all just do it together. Okay, look at this. We're growing, aren't we? Don't forget you can use the Wi-Fi here, Sanctuary. What's it called? BIMS, Beth Israel Messianic Synagogue. BIMS Sanctuary Guest will give you high-speed access and free to the internet. You do need to have the password for that. Do you know what it is? Shalom 2012. That's right. There you go. So all the digitals. Okay, now all of the old school folk who have Bibles, let's raise our Bibles up. We're doing okay. Now, if you've got both, show you're from the modern era and There we go. We're good. So Isaiah 11, however you get there in your Bible, whether you flick or flip, get to Isaiah 11, and it says this: there shall come forth a rod from the stem or the root of Jesse, and a branch will grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor will he decide by the hearing of his ears. If we want to be like Mashiach, we should take note of this. We don't only make our judgments and our decisions based on our sensory information. We evaluate things deeper than that. And that's why we seek wisdom from God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Why is he not limited to visual input or auditory input? It's because God's Spirit not only works in those ways, but he works beyond those ways and gives us wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. With righteousness, verse 4, he will judge the poor, and he will decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. This inspired, as you know, the Apostle Paul when he was writing in Ephesians to describe what spiritual armor is like. So on this, the last day of Passover, let's turn our attention to the Messiah, and let us be bold and confident to declare his name, Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. This is his name. Descendant of Jesse, Yeshua of Nazareth. Just repeat after me. Yeshua is Messiah.
Yeshua is Messiah.
And as Paul said, if you believe in your heart that Yeshua is Adonai, and you speak this out loud because it is your sincere conviction that he came and he died as an atoning sacrifice for you and he rose from the dead, then you will experience the deliverance and the salvation of God. So join with me and just say this: Yeshua is Adonai. And it takes sometimes a Talmud scholar like Daniel Boyarin to remind Messianic Jews and Christians that Yeshua declared he was Adonai, that he saw himself and declared clearly, and the apostles and those who wrote and gave to us all of the New Testament scriptures understood this. God came down from heaven and took on the body of a man and became Mashiach, the Redeemer and the Atoner for our sins. And not only did he atone for our sins, he brought healing to us as well. So if a Talmud scholar can recognize that, don't you think believers should recognize it? Let's not compromise our understanding or our declaration, Yeshua is Adonai. It's one thing to say he's Messiah. It's another thing to say he's Adonai. And believe me, we're saying he is not only Messiah, he is also Adonai. And it's not that he became God. He wasn't just a good guy who got promoted. He was God who came down to us. It's time to prepare ourselves for the coming holiday. Just when we're finishing up one, we have to get ready for the next. The coming holiday of Shavuot, which celebrates the giving of Torah at Sinai, and for Messianic Jews and for Christians, it celebrates the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. And with that in mind, we need to remind ourselves tonight is the seventh day of the Omer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvata v'tzivanu al sefirat haomer. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to count the Omer. Now, some people say, you know, that's just a rabbinic tradition. And we're not rabbinic Jews, we're messianic Jews. Why should we do this? And the answer is, it's not just a rabbinic tradition, it's actually a biblical tradition. And if you open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 16, you will see in, boy, I need more light here with my contacts. Verse 9 is what I believe it is. Are you there with me? Okay. I'm reading from my paper Bible, which has tiny little print. And it says, you shall count 7 weeks for yourself. You shall count for yourselves from the day following the day of rest, from the day on which you bring the Omer as a wave offering, and the counting shall be for 7 sevens, or 7 full weeks. Until the day following the 7th week, you shall count 50 days. And 50 days is how we get the Greek name Pentecost, which means the counting to 50, and Shavuot, which means sevens or weeks. So they're two names for the same holiday. And it says that you're to do this so that you will be cleansed. And I believe as we count towards Shavuot, we begin to anticipate something. We anticipate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit again. We know that God gave his Torah at Sinai on Shavuot. That's one of the things that Jews all over the world commemorate. But Messianic Jews also commemorate that it was on Shavuot that God poured out his Holy Spirit in Jerusalem. And not just in Jerusalem, but starting in Jerusalem. Let's read on in Isaiah 11, verse 10. It says, in that day, B'yom Hahu, there shall be a root of Jesse, speaking of Messiah, who will stand as a banner to the people. And in the Hebrew where it says banner, it means two things. It means like a sign, a visible sign, a declaration, but it also means a miracle. He will stand as a miracle, as a nes to the people. Because, and this is what's so provocative about this passage that will be read tomorrow morning in synagogues all over the world, because Gentiles will seek him. It's fascinating that one of the Jewish proclamations about Messiah is that he's not only the Messiah for the Jewish people, but he's Messiah for the world. And so don't ever be discouraged by Gentiles coming to Messiah. Don't ever think, well, where are the Jews? We only have Gentiles. We have Jews and Gentiles, and there's a reason. God said he would reach Jews and Gentiles. And one of the signs that Messiah, the Messiah of Israel, has come is that he's bringing people from the nations close to him. So you should congratulate yourself if you're not a Jew, that you discovered the Jewish Messiah too. And you should be glad that God has brought you together. And if you're Jewish, you should congratulate all the people from the other nations who have been joined in with you, because it is an affirmation of what Isaiah understood. We should really rejoice that this miracle and this sign is clearly visible and it's being fulfilled. Let's continue in Isaiah 12. The Haftorah calls us to thanksgiving and to praise and to worship. In other words, when you think of Messiah, it should cause your soul to rejoice. It should not only draw you close internally to God, it should cause an outward manifestation of your love for God to appear. Isaiah 12, verse 1, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Can you say that after me? I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Now listen for the qualifiers to come after. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you would comfort me. Even when you're under the discipline of God, he is still loving you and he's still working for good. So you can, you know, like, feel the places where you've been spanked, comfort yourself, and say, God still loves me. If you've been under the discipline of the Lord, it's not to your shame, it's to your credit. Because a true father disciplines his children who he loves. Only illegitimate children don't have a loving father to discipline them. And then look at what you will say as well. Verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation." Say that after me. "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." And then verse 3 says that with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. You know what the wells of salvation, another way of saying it, the wells of Yeshua. The wells that belong to Yeshua. And then as you're drinking from the waters of the wells of salvation, you are called to go further. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, and proclaim that his name is exalted. So look at the four things you're to do. Number one, give thanks to the Lord. Number two, to call upon his name, to call out to him, to call to him, and to call about him. Number three, to make known his deeds among the peoples. Now that word for peoples can mean two kinds of peoples, Jewish peoples and other kinds of peoples. So every kind of people. Make known his deeds. Now, how do you make known God's deeds? You tell other people what God has done for you. That's the starting point. And then the fourth thing, proclaim that his name is exalted. That means proclaim to God that his name is exalted. It means proclaim to one another. When people around you are feeling sad or discouraged or depressed, remind them God's name is exalted. Don't leave them in the condition of feeling sad for themselves and in despair. Lift them up and remind them that God's name is exalted, that they're seated with him in a spiritual way, that they are joined together with the Lord. Don't allow yourself to just feel sorry for yourself when things are difficult. Slap yourself in the morning if you have to. Wake yourself up, look in the mirror, and talk to yourself. Do whatever you've got to do. Take control of your own situation by bringing it to the Lord. Now, next week, I'm going to focus on a really practical message that I've titled, "Worship Will Make You Smarter." And I want to show you how coming into the presence of God, coming into the sanctuary, this very sanctuary on Shabbat, worshiping the Lord will actually increase your creativity. It will increase your intelligent productivity, and it will make you smarter as well. And I'll explain how it works so that when you're here, you can enter in. Because there's nothing worse than being in the right place but the wrong frame of mind and not getting out what God wants to give to you. So let's be bold again. Let's declare, Yeshua is Messiah.
Yeshua is Messiah.
Yeshua is Adonai. Then Isaiah 12 goes on and says, verse 5, "Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." Well, I want to tell you something. God is powerful in his heavenly sanctuary. And he is also powerful in his earthly sanctuary. Whenever we gather on Shabbat, when we worship the Lord, when we pray together, when we're studying together, when we fellowship, when we serve together, the Lord is here with us, and he's ready to do powerful things with you. When you are aware of that, you'll participate in a different way. I'm actually really thankful that we're here tonight and that you're here tonight. And I want to ask you to do something. I don't think I've ever asked you to do this. I want you next week for that message on worship will make you smarter. I want you to bring a friend. They don't have to be someone who's going to stay here, but I want you to bring a friend and let them enjoy worshiping with all of us in our new sanctuary. And my goal is that you, together with the rest of us, would bring hundreds of new people into the sanctuary for a reason, that this place would be filled up with people who are praising the Lord, and that God would get the honor that he's due. Do you like that idea? I like it. I'm praying for you. I'm praying that every seat will be filled next Friday night. It doesn't make sense, does it? Because we don't usually have that many people for Friday night. But would you like to see that happen? Okay, so bring another person. You can bring two or three or four if you want. You know, there's no limit how many you can bring. Don't just invite someone, bring them. Do you know the difference? You might pick someone up, say, I'll pick you up. You know, we'll go out to dinner afterwards. Or you're more proactive. If you invite a girl on a date, guys, you know what to do, right? But you do have to get her. That's the key. If you forget that part, the whole date doesn't work because you end up being by yourself. If you bring people to the congregation, it's very different than just inviting people or saying that good Southern invitation, y'all come. Come by and see us sometime. Actually, bring people. You'll be amazed how people will respond when you do that. Well, I also want to give special thanks to our podcast listeners. They're actually all over the world. I don't know that we have any in Antarctica, but we do have podcast listeners on all the other continents. And I'm especially thankful for those who are giving in support of the new sanctuary and the synagogue. And let me tell you, we are continuing to receive your special offerings, your Terumah offerings, to help us cover all the costs and to continue to develop the rest of our plans for the sanctuary, for the synagogue, and for the new cafe that we're building next door. So remember what a Terumah offering is. It's above your tithes, and it's for those whose hearts are stirred and are willing to give and to give generously. So if God puts it in your heart to give a Terumah offering, then you know what? He'll give you the means to do it. And if you're not sure how much to give, ask him. And when he shows you, give with delight and with joy, because he delights in receiving from those who are moved in this way. Well, let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this, the last day of Pesach. We thank you for tomorrow and the conclusion on Shabbat. We say, Lord, thank you for delivering us, and thank you for the coming and complete redemption of Messiah. Thank you for Yeshua, our Messiah. Thank you for Yeshua, who is Adonai. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Yeshua. We worship you, Spirit. As you have revealed to us, as you have poured yourself out upon us, we give thanks to you. And we say, Lord, we are confident and we are bold in you to come before your throne with thanksgiving, with our petitions. And we ask, Lord, that you would pour out your healing upon the sick in this place, that you would pour out your hope upon the discouraged, that you would pour out your provision upon the needy, that you would lead each one of us in the way of peace in your Son, Messiah Yeshua. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? No one stand by themselves. Let's all stand with at least one other person. Yivarechecha Adonai. v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you, the Lord protect you and keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Pesach sameach.